He is Christopher Walsh joining us on the Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Chris, thanks for coming down to our level and talking with us here on just a plain old local radio station today. Congratulations. Great exposure for the book that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I know that's part of that business, having never written one, but having friends like yourself who have done it. Marketing promotion is huge, but a chance to go on the national platform like the one with Tony yesterday had to be awfully big for you.
Yeah, it was great, and seemed like the interview went really well. And yeah, I've known Tony for years, and there's probably no journalist in the Southeast that I respect more, not just as a journalist, but as a person. Just great guy.
And he's been well known regionally since the AJC days, and probably even before that. He's one of those that treats you kindly and professionally and with great courtesy. No matter where you are in life or where you are professionally and where he's been, if you know Tony, he's been the same guy all the way through.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of funny because he brought up the grandfather thing, and you know, Tony's had some family changes in his life as well, kind of recently. So I think he can relate a little bit to some of the things that Nick Saban's been going through of late.
No question. In fact, he and I talked about that when he sat down with me. I happened to be with him the day that he became a grandfather. He was flying to Huntsville. This will, again, I'll be brief on this, but to tell people how upstanding a guy he is. He had committed to making an appearance a year ago at, or 2 years ago, I should say, up in Huntsville to an alumni group. I was going to be the MC. He was the main speaker and all of this. But he told him when he booked the date. Now, you know, my daughter, I think his only child, is due with her first baby right around that date. And I just wanted you to know, you know, I'm probably going to be there. I'm going to be there in Huntsville, but I wanted you to know, you know, that if something bad happened, you know, God forbid, that would preclude me from being there. They said, we understand, not a problem. He leaves the hospital with her heading towards labor, gets to the airport, flies. When he lands, he checks his phone. Congratulations, you're a granddad. He went to Huntsville, stuck with that commitment. Some people go, hey, you can't be doing that. That's your grandchild. But that's just kind of the way Tony is, and with how he is about when he tells you something, you can bank on it.
I'll give you a 5-second story also kind of on his importance in the area. My wife started getting on my case last year because she was saying, you need a hobby, because I really didn't have any outside of work. And so
right.
I started collecting first edition autograph books, and nice. One of the things I wanted to do was, like, get some of the people that I knew of the books that I already had to sign the ones that they had. And so I had a original version of Tony's book, Southern Fried Football. And at SEC Media Days, I was like, Tony, you know, do you mind signing this? And he was like, absolutely, signs it. And I walked down the aisle, and I go to Saturday Down South headquarters. We had actually rented out a storefront at the Galleria. And that was our headquarters. I walk in, I sit down. Literally 2 seconds later, our video guy, Justin, looks at the book and goes, oh, I have always wanted to read that. Can I borrow that? And I'm just
wow.
Like, okay. So my book is somewhere, I think, in Orlando now. I have no idea.
You haven't even seen it autographed yet.
Even had a chance. I never read the autograph, so I have no idea what he put down in there.
You better hope he didn't stick a $100 bill in it.
No.
You ain't going to get it. Chris Walsh joining us. SaturdayDownSouth.com is the website. He's got a series out right now on the site, and I think it's a great route to go. Reclaiming is the name of the series. And look, you break this down into about 5 different pieces of where things have to go. And I guess the most recent is the coaching staff itself, which is not at all short on experience, and not at all short on experience, Chris, of working with Nick Saban himself.
Yeah, I thought that was something that was really, really interesting, and I was working on this a little bit over the last few months, and Ivan Mizell was the guy who kind of brought this to my attention, and he was just dead on that. You know, you hear so much criticism about people saying, oh, Saban's so hard to work for. And then he turns around and he has rehired a lot of coaches that worked for him initially at Alabama on that 2007 staff. I think there's four guys who have come back. And Ivan made the point. He's like, gee, you know, if he's so awful to work with, then why are so many people coming back to work for him, kind of thing.
Right.
It's nice that fallacy is finally kind of been debunked, if you will, because, you know, you go and you talk to, like, former players, and I'm not even talking about Alabama. I'm talking, like, LSU guys and even Michigan State, and they rave about having played for Saban and how, you know, you kind of see one thing in front of the media, but he's very different and very hands-on with his players, especially on the practice field. And yes, he's demanding, and yes, he is driven. But, you know, don't you want that in a coach? So I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I agree. And to your point, Saban himself has told me, when doing an interview on his TV show, setting up a piece on one of the assistants, and Lance Thompson happened to be the one who's on about his, what, third stint with Saban?
Yeah. Yeah,
he was with him at LSU, twice now at Alabama. So he knows things, and that's one of the things that Saban said is, you know, he has great respect for guys that want to come back and work for him. Because he says, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of people in the profession that think they want to come to Alabama and be a part of what we do at Alabama. But then they get here and see what is truly involved, and they start rethinking it. He said, to know what you're walking into and be willing to walk back into that, he himself has a lot of respect for it in that regard.
I think with Lance, it was, and this is not to say anything bad about anybody else, but I think when Lance got up to Tennessee, my understanding was that he called back and he was like, if you guys ever have an opening, I would love to come back. And I now find it funny that his former boss at Tennessee is now also on the Alabama staff. So, go figure.
Yeah, great. Great point there. Lane Kiffin is among those that are former D1 coaches, and you look, and virtually all of them had some level of success for at least a season. I think a lot of people still to this day think that the dismissal of Mario Cristobal at FIU may have been one of the dumbest moves in mid-major college football in quite a while, because he was doing a really nice job, and